This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. Over the last few years, there have been more and more confirmed shark sightings at beaches on the East Coast, and this summer is no exception. Just last week, lifeguards closed part of Rockaway Beach, that's here in Brooklyn, after surfers spotted a shark. Further north, officials closed a remote beach in Cape Cod when a spotter's plane saw not one, not two, but at least three great white sharks lurking near the shore a couple weeks ago. No one's been allowed in the water since then. And then just yesterday, Cape Cod's Chatham Harbor was closed to swimming due to the sighting of a 14-foot great white shark. Scary, huh? But before you call in Quint and his too small shark boat in Jaws, to put this in perspective, there hasn't been a fatal shark attack in New England since way back in 1936. So why are we spotting so many more great whites today? Is their population growing? Or are we just more paranoid and getting better at spotting them? Here to sort out some of the facts from fiction is my guest, Greg Skomel is a senior biologist at the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries at New Bedford, Massachusetts. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Skomel.
Thank you, Ari. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Are there more sharks these days, or are we seeing more of them?
Well, I think it's a function of it's a number of variables we're dealing with here, and it's hard for us to really tell if there's more sharks or just simply more effort. Certainly, a lot of the sightings along the East Coast of the United States have to do with more people utilizing the shoreline, utilizing the water for various recreational activities and otherwise. But I think in some areas, specifically off the coast of Chatham, Massachusetts, and Monomoy Island, we are indeed seeing more white sharks. And I think it's what we're seeing is a shift in distribution of the white shark in that particular area.
And what is attracting them to that area?
Over the course of the last couple of decades, we've been seeing a steady increase in the number of gray seals and a growing gray seal, resident gray seal population in that area, I believe, is drawing these sharks closer to shore.
And why would we be seeing more gray seals now?
Well, back in the early 70s, we passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and it's taken the last few decades for this population to actually recover to levels that pre-existed before we eradicated the species over the course of the last several decades. So we've got a growing population in response to protection by the U.S. and state governments.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what you're saying is that we're seeing a restoration of this coastal ecosystem to the way it used to be.
Exactly. At least that's the way we perceive it at this time. You know, we could be going back to what existed several hundred years ago with a robust seal population being preyed upon by a robust white shark population.
1-800-989-8255. We're talking to Greg Skomel about the sightings of great white sharks and along the East Coast. Maybe if you've seen one, you could like to call in and talk about it. You can also Twitter us. You can send us a tweet at SciFry, at SCIFRI, or join the discussion on our website on sciencefriday.com. From watching Jaws and all the scary movies about sharks and Shark Week on cable channels everywhere, how much do we really know about white shark populations?
Well, there are certain parts of the world where you can predictably find white sharks, and these areas, which include the Pacific Coast, California, parts of South Africa and South Australia, these are areas where scientists have had the luxury, if you will, of going out and studying these animals at great levels. And we've been able to garner quite a bit about their biology in those areas. I think one of the spots that we know very little about the white shark is the Atlantic Ocean. And perhaps this change in ecosystem that we're going through up here in New England may begin to provide us some access to these animals so we can start to tease away some aspects of their biology.
And you are involved in tagging sharks, are you not?
Correct. Yeah, last year we had a chance for the first time to put satellite-based technology tags on white sharks in this area. And we're already getting insights into their biology just from those tags. And already this year we've placed four tags out, and we hope to be able to continue to do that over the course of the next month.
Mm-hmm. How do you get, how do you know when it is time to reopen these beaches that have been closed?
Well, the local municipalities are in charge of those beaches, and all we can do at the Division of Marine Fisheries is provide information to those folks who are making these decisions. You know, we'd like to provide real-time information on the presence of sharks as acquired through our research activities, and so they can make well-founded decisions on opening and closing beaches.
What are the odds of getting bitten by a shark?
Well, you yourself indicated that the last fatal attack in Massachusetts was back in the 1930s, so that gives you a sense of what the probability is. That being said, I think it's important to realize when you place people in close proximity to the prey of sharks, namely gray seals, you could potentially increase the risk modestly. So I think it's important to make wise decisions when getting in the water and choose areas that may be free of white shark prey. Mm.
Henry in Aurora, Illinois. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hello there. Being landlocked, I just have an idea that possibly there's less fish out there for the sharks to feed on, because you could ask any fisherman out there, why are they still in port? And the sharks will wander farther around looking for food. That's my idea.
All right,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting point, and it points to fisheries management and population management, and it's the importance of looking at bait species and the species and defining relationships between sharks and their prey and whether or not we're over-exploiting their prey and forcing sharks to other areas to exploit other resources. That being said, I think it's well-defined, the behavior of the white shark when it comes to feeding, that these animals are clearly going through, they clearly prefer larger prey, namely marine mammals and specifically seals and sea lions. So I think what we have going on off the coast of New England is actually just a natural predator-prey relationship and not anything exacerbated perhaps by humans.
Let's go to Roy in Sumter, South Carolina. Hi, Roy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the call and specifically on this topic. It's always been an interest. I've been recreational fishing in the Atlantic for 30 years, and over the last 3 or 4 years, we've noticed a tremendous increase in the number of small sharks that we're catching. It used to be something we may catch one shark every 2 or 3 trips, and now we probably catch 10 sharks every trip. These, we refer to them as bonnet heads. I don't know if that's an accurate terminology. About a 3, 3.5 foot long shark. Always catch them on the bottom, never catch them trolling. And I'll take my answer off the air, but again, thank you so much for this topic.
All right. Could there be many big sharks because there are a lot of more little sharks now?
Well, you know, the bonnet head is indeed a species. It's considered to be a healthy population off the southeastern U.S., according to the fisheries statisticians. It's not a fish that's heavily exploited commercially, although it is sold in some numbers, and recreational fishermen like to catch it as well. You know, there are some folks who believe, some scientists who believe that with the removal of very, very large sharks that consume these smaller sharks, we're seeing more species, more smaller sharks out there. That may be the case, although it hasn't been clearly demonstrated by scientists. So it's an area that where there is quite a bit of work, but we have no real conclusions yet.
Have sharks been overhunted?
In certain parts of the world with certain populations, absolutely. We have enough information on, for example, the dusky shark to indicate that that population off the eastern U.S. has been overexploited and reduced dramatically. The same is true for the sandbar shark. For other populations of sharks, they continue to be robust, and I think the bonnet head falls into that.
All right, let me go to Mark in New Britain, Connecticut. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I, as you said, I'm in Connecticut, and I've noticed changes in the water temperature of Long Island Sound. It's been creeping up year over year, and I'm wondering if the climatic changes, if increases in ocean temperature, are a possible source of increased activity.
Good question.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and one we anticipate a lot of research trying to answer over the course of the next decade. We know that with climate change and global warming, we're going to see changes in the structure of fish populations in terms of the diversity of species, with a shift north of tropical species, and it has been demonstrated for some already. I imagine with warming water temperatures in Long Island Sound, you're going to see a change in the fish diversity in that body of water as well. So, it's an area that we're going into. We anticipate changes, and some of them have been documented. In terms of sharks, we haven't seen any kind of dramatic shift as of yet, but some of the species that typically occur south of Cape Cod and not north have indeed been starting to creep around the Cape. So we're starting to see some indications that the fish populations, including sharks, are changing.
Steve in Cambridge, Mass. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Great show. I think the shark thing is just a bunch of media hype, frankly. I mean, it makes people tune into to the news shows, and I'm not sure there's any more or less. I just think the sightings are more, maybe because there's more fishermen out there. But I was wondering if you might know why there's a lot more jellyfish in the bay this year.
Well, you bring up a couple of excellent points, and a lot of the shark phenomenon, or shark frenzy, if you will, is driven by the media, and it's something we have to deal with all the time. I can tell you that some of the shark sightings data absolutely indicate a shift that's going on over with white sharks, and some of it's just generated by a media frenzy. Somebody sees a fin. It may not be a shark fin, but it gets reported as such, and that just compounds upon itself. I wish I could be of more help with you with jellyfish. I've been hearing a lot of folks complain about jellyfish in the bay over the last several weeks, but unfortunately, I study things a lot bigger.
All right, we'll have to take a look at that with some jellyfish, folks, on a future program. But I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great to be here.
Have a good weekend.
Yes, you too.
Greg Skomel is a senior biologist in the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries in New Bedford, Mass., and he was joining us by phone from there. When we come back, we're going to switch to electric cars, plug-ins. Do you want a plug-in? How about a Chevy Volt or a Nissan Leaf? We're going to compare the two. Maybe you could talk to us about what you'd like to see the perfect plug-in to be. What are these two cars the kind you might purchase? If not, what do you want to have? Our number 1-800-989-8255. You can tweet us at SciFry, at SCIFRI, or go to our website at sciencefriday.com where you can chat around with some folks that way. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.